My name's Tasha and I'm an addict. First, I just want to say that I'm grateful to be here, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to just be able to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. When I was asked to speak, I was like, oh my God, are you fucking serious? Like, I don't even share in meetings, let alone speak at a convention. But when he asked, he said that, you know, to find someone in AA who believes in you and wants to help you in your recovery. So I'm grateful for that. The topic is acceptance leads to recovery. I almost wish I didn't even have a topic until the minute before. I was like, I get up this morning and I'm like looking at my basic text, you know, like, oh, maybe I need to find something to read or, you know, reference to or whatever. Knowing good and well if I came down here, like, it was, I'm not going to remember any of that shit anyway. So I'm just going to, just whatever comes to my mind. I don't know. I know whenever I was using, I had, like, accepted the fact that I was going to be a junkie for the rest of my life. I'd accepted the fact that I wasn't in my children's lives and that I really didn't have much of a future. I was okay with that shit. Then when I go to jail and stuff, you know, I had to accept the fact that, like, I'm in jail. This is repercussions of my actions, and that I cannot use successfully. So I'd accepted that, like, I'm not getting out. The last time I got caught, it was pretty hefty charges and stuff. So when I come to recovery, I have to accept a lot of things, too. And one of those things is that I'm an addict, and that this is an everyday, like, reprieve. I have to work on myself every day so that I can recover. It's not that I was ever, like, ashamed of it, but it really wasn't something I was real proud of. You know what I'm saying? But yesterday, I just, I had a parent-teacher conference with my daughter's teachers, and, like, the school psychiatrist is there, and, like, all these people, special education teachers and shit. And they were, I've met with them a couple times, but they would refer to things that, like, the previous school year or, you know, like, the beginning. And I wasn't present during that time. So when they were talking, I'm sure the look on my face on some of the things they were talking about was, like, you know, a deer in headlights. So, I don't know. I just felt the need to speak up and just tell the teachers, like, you know, the reason why you all, like, didn't really see me in the beginning of her starting school and stuff like that was because, you know, I'm a recovering addict and I was in treatment. And to just be able to be honest with them teachers and not feel, like, judged or less than. But, you know, I was just put it on the table. Like, you know, I'm in recovery, and that's why I really wasn't there then. But by the grace of God, I get to be there today. And whatever I need to do to be helpful for my daughter and to give her the best education possible, like, I'm here today, and I'm grateful for that. I do blame myself a lot for not being there then. Like, maybe if I had been there, she could do this better, she could do that better. But I know I can't, like, I can't blame myself for that type of stuff. But it was a relief, because I sit there and I'm like, what did these people think, you know? Like, so just to be straight up with them. So I felt better about that. Lord, acceptance. I don't know about, so whenever I went to treatment, I've never been to treatment before. I went one time, and I, like, really tried to make it count. I was gone for 15 months, and, like, I've always felt like I had to be somebody I wasn't, right? Or to have somebody to make me feel good about myself, or if that one person accepts me, then, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, I don't know. I've just always been involved in, like, a relationship, whether it be toxic or whatever it is. So when I went to treatment, you know, it was really a time to, like, focus on myself and find out who Tasha was and what I liked and things like that. Well, long story short, when I came home from treatment, I brought my peer support with me. I don't suggest that to anybody. If you're thinking about it, don't do it. So once I come home, you know, like, I'm in this relationship, and it was a bad idea. You can ask Missy. So I'm, like, in this relationship. It's very toxic. You know, it took a while, a couple years or whatever, but I was able to get out of it by the grace of God. So once I was able to end that relationship, I thought, you know, like, you know, I've heard him say in the rooms, like, don't get in a relationship for the first year and, you know, that type of stuff. So I like made a commitment to myself that, okay, I'm solo dolo now, and I'm really going to take this time to, like, focus on myself and who I am and what I want in life. And just really just learn who I was. So I made a commitment to not get involved with anybody sexually, like nothing, for a year. And that's a big commitment. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, that's a big fucking commitment. And I, you know, I honestly didn't think that I would be able to do it because, for one, like, I'm not the best at making commitments. You know, I didn't come in here with these skills and, like, know how to do this stuff. But I've seen other people do it in the room. So, like, I know it's possible. So in the beginning, like, it was very uncomfortable. Like, I dreaded to go home. I think at that time I would, like, go to a meeting every single day, a couple times a day, just to prevent being by myself, because I didn't know how to be by myself, for one. And what if I don't like myself, you know? But as I did it, each day it got easier and easier. And, like, I found hobbies and, like, things that I enjoy to do, you know, Legos and things like that. So, I don't know, I feel like I really grew a lot in that year's time. I learned how to love myself and not having to have the approval of someone else or someone else to validate me, to make me feel like I'm accepted or, you know. So just taking that time really, like I said, it just, I became okay with who I was. And during that, like I said, I learned a lot about myself. So once that year, you know, comes and goes, then it's like, you know, I'm okay with myself. And I'm grateful for that because, like, today I know that I don't have to, like, put up with any bullshit because I don't want to be alone or because I want to be loved or whatever. So it's only made me stronger in who I am and in my recovery, things like that. So I don't know. I suggest if you've not had a chance to do that, like, you know, it's not that bad. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but I don't know. Today, like, my life is totally different than I could ever imagine. When I think of, like, a good life and, like, you know, like, I always sell myself short. You know, I just want a good job. And if I just, like, take my hands out of it and allow God to enter it and move in the situation, like, it's way better than I could ever even picture my life being. And really, that's how my life is today. I have three daughters, and I actually get to be, like, a part of their life and shit. My middle daughter, she will be 16 next week. And every year, well, first of all, I hadn't seen her in, like, 4 years whenever I was using, like, the end of my using. I hadn't seen her in 4 years, and her father is in recovery, and, you know, I can't blame him. Like, he didn't want to expose her to any type of danger, or he never knew what to expect with me, so it's not that he kept her from me. He just had, like, rules, you know, like, you need to go to treatment, and, like, you need to do this and that, and, like, call the shots, but, and I would get pissed. But at the same time, like, he had every right to do what he was doing. But anyway, so she'll be 16 next week. And, like, I get to, like, call. Like, I have her phone number now. You know, like, that's a big deal. Whenever I was in treatment, I would write her a letter every single week. because they told me that, like, consistency, you know, it goes a long way. And, like, I know for myself, I have to be consistent. If shit gets crazy, like, I'm crazy. But I consistently try to do the same thing. So I would, like, write her a letter, and I never heard anything back. And I'm like, well, he's not fucking giving them to her, and, you know, whatever. But it's a process, right? And it just took her some time before she... I mean, obviously, she didn't know what to say to me. She doesn't really know me. There's another woman in her life that is, like, playing the model of a mother, which I'm very grateful for. But anyway, so, like, we get to talk and communicate today, and I get to see her. And it's still, like, not where I want it to be. You know, I'll have 4 years clean next week, and he's still calling the shots. And I'm like, you know, I get so aggravated. But I have to accept the fact that, like, I put myself in this situation. He's doing this because of things that I've done. And it makes it a little bit easier when I look back at me and, like, he's not just doing this to be an asshole or to keep her from me. You know, it's because of things that I've done. So just being able to accept that I've made mistakes and that I've not always been right. I don't know. It just makes things so much easier for me. To just be able to take a look at myself and see the part that I played. So anyways, you know, that's in working progress. You know, it's, hopefully it'll get better, and eventually, like, I'll get to pick her up by myself, you know, but right now it's just the small things. And, so what I was getting with that, like, a couple years before I actually decided to get clean and stay clean, every single year on her birthday, I was fucking in jail. I'm talking, I just, every year for like 3 years in a row, I would end up in jail on her birthday. So the last year, I'm like, I try to make this plan, like, okay, it was March 1st, and I remember, like, it was yesterday, saying, like, okay, before the 13th of March, like, I'm gonna be in treatment somewhere so I don't go to jail. And I had my bags and stuff packed. I wanted to quit using drugs, but I just couldn't. I couldn't. I wanted it so bad. You know, I was on pretrial diversion, and, like, I had all this time over my head, and, like, I wanted to with everything in me, but I just couldn't fucking do it. I'm the type of addict that, you know, I have to have some consequences before I'm like, okay, maybe there's a problem here. And unfortunately, you know, the Department of Corrections let me know real quick that you're not a good drug dealer, and you have a fucking problem. So I didn't make it to treatment that year, obviously, before her birthday. Nor did I even get to see her because I'm in such the grip, you know, the grips. And it had been so long, like, I can't just show up now, you know, happy birthday. Like, I can't do that. Plus, there would never be enough drugs to be able to do that time. So anyways, I ended up going to jail on the 16th. So I made it a couple days past. And when I'm in jail, you know, I'm coming to, and, like, the drugs are wearing off, and I'm getting sick, and then all that guilt and that shame that's, like, built up for years and years, you know, I'm in this jail cell, and I'm looking at, like, all these fucking trafficking charges, and I'm like, ugh, my life is over, you know? But, like, man, I don't ever want to forget that day. I don't ever want to forget that morning that I woke up and was just hopeless, completely broken, beaten, and hopeless. But I had no idea at that time that, like, God was intervening in my life. And that's what it takes for an addict like me. I can't just say, oh, okay, I have a problem, let's do something about it. Like I said, I can't use successfully at anything. It don't even have to be drugs, you know? Like, I like to do diamond art and shit. And I will sit at the house and fucking do diamond art until, like, I got a crick in my neck, and I'm fucking tired, and I'm running late for work the next day because I just want to finish this section. Or, you know, like, it don't have to be drugs. I can be unmanageable with any fucking thing. So that even confirms more, you know, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I was going somewhere with all of that, but I don't know. Anyways, so, like, you know, I was originally introduced to Narcotics Anonymous back in 2008, where I once again had went to jail and suffered some consequences. My daughter's father at the time, he went to treatment, and I never got the luxury to get to go to treatment. You know, I was always in jail. Like, they kept me in jail. So anyways, whenever I got out that time, he had been in treatment and was introduced to, you know, this thing, these meetings called Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, I, like, that's not going to fucking work for me. Like, going and, like, sitting in a circle and, like, saying these little chants, you know, that is not going to keep me clean. Like, I have tried everything in the world, and, like, I know, like, that shit is not going to work. But, you know, like, at this point, what do I have to lose? You know, I have tried every single thing, and I've not ever been able to find a way to stop getting high. So I became open-minded to this idea of this, you know, these meetings and stuff. I really thought it was like a cult in the beginning because, like, everybody knew these sayings and these, like, you know, readings and stuff. And, but, you know, I just kept, well, for one, too, I've got these charges. When I get out of jail, I was like, I wanted to get high just one more time, right? But I knew, like, whenever I was in jail, I was in there, like, 2 months. You know, I'm in jail, and, like, my boobs and shit are starting to hurt, and, like, they're getting bigger, and I'm like, damn, what they got in this jail food? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it salt or what? So, like, I knew, you know, like, bitch, you're pregnant. But I'm still, you know, like, I'm in denial. Like, no, I'm going to get out. I'm just going to get high one more time. And I remember whenever I went, I was like so sick off a particular substance, and I remember praying to God, like, please God, whenever I get out, just please make them have disappeared. Like, that's the only way I'm gonna be able to stop doing these things, if they're just gone. Well, I'll be damned, like, I get out 2 months later and I couldn't find a single one nowhere. I'm like, okay, God. But instead of that particular substance, there was one in replace of it, you know. So I just wanted to do it one more time, right? Well, I guess I came to my senses for a second. I was like, you need to take a drug test first. And I kind of told my sister-in-law, and she, like, made me take this drug test. Or not drug test, I'm sorry, pregnancy test. Well, come to find out, I'm pregnant. So I'm like, oh, God, you know, I ended up not getting high that day. And that's when I started coming to the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. And like I said, I'm the type of person, I like to know how shit works, like who, what, when, for, why, like all of those things. And I couldn't figure out, like, how this thing worked, you know. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. Like, another addict can help me stay clean. You know, I guess I was just overcomplicating it like we do. But I still just kept coming. And a lot of it was him. He was dragging me, you know, to the meetings. But I got involved, and, you know, I had that, like, 9-month yellow key tag baby. So every time I hear the 9-month tag, it takes me back to 2008. But, you know, I got involved, and I was able to get, like, a couple days and shit together. And my weight has always been, like, a huge trigger for me. So, you know, I have the baby, and, you know, I was clean, I was pregnant, and I was large and in charge. You better believe it, okay? Like, all I did was eat. So after I have the baby, like, you know, I've still got all this extra weight, and I'm still, like, clean, and, you know, it's not going anywhere as quick as I would have liked for it to. So, needless to say, I ended up relapsing and using. And he chose to stay. He stayed in the rooms, whatever. But we kind of made a pact during that time, if one of us used, that we would split, because we didn't want to bring each other down. And that sounds good, you know what I'm saying? But people don't really do that shit, right? Yeah, he did that shit. But he had reason to, you know what I'm saying? So years later, you know what I'm saying, like, I knew the solution. I knew what to do. I knew what worked, even though I couldn't explain how it worked. I knew what it was, the only thing that had ever worked for me in the past. But like I said, I couldn't face you people. Like, I knew y'all were going to judge me, and you, first of all, I'm not that fucking important, you know? But so, like, I couldn't bring myself in, you know, to try to get back in the solution without those consequences. But once I did, you know, I was gone for treatment forever, and then I come back around to, you know, the Lexington area, and it's easy to stay clean and sober when, like, you're in that bubble, you know what I'm saying? Every move was, like, dictated for me. And it was cool. I didn't ever have cravings or anything like that, right? But I knew once I came back home, like, I wasn't going to be in that protected bubble anymore, and that, like, I had to do something or I would be right back doing what I was doing. So I knew exactly where to go. And I went to the How It Works meeting on Belafonte on Tuesday night, and I go in there, and, like, the same fucking people were sitting in there that was there 12 years ago. And, you know, like, I don't know why I didn't think they would be, but, like, people, like, 20, 30 years, you know, and it's like, damn, y'all are still sitting in a meeting. But, you know, I'm grateful for those guys because they welcomed me with open arms and was, like, happy to see me back. And, you know, I'm grateful for that I knew the solution. I knew where to go. It's just doing it. But, I don't know, acceptance is a huge thing. If I can't accept, like, my circumstances and that I'm in, like, you know, I'm going to just be poor, pitiful me and play the victim and it's your fault this happens and, you know, just come up with all these piss poor excuses to keep getting high. And, like, there's no excuse to use. So just being able to take, like, ownership of my actions and shit, it helps, you know. No matter what the situation is, how bad it is, if I can find some acceptance in it, then I can persevere. Like, I can get through it. And it's, for me, it's all about your perspective. You know, if you're going to, like, sit here and look at the bad of it, then, you know, you're going to wall around in that. But I honestly believe that there's something good in every situation, like, no matter how bad it is or whatever. So I try to find that good in it and, like, hold on to that, because, you know, this too shall pass, right? I don't know. Today, like, I get to be of service and I get to help people. Although, like, I should have really reconsidered my life choices that I've been making here lately as far as working in recovery, because, like, I think I'm sick. Oh, like, put 30 peer supports and you know, 120 clients, like, we're really sick group of people, you know? And, like, you know, through this process, like, first of all, I never thought I was employable. For one, I couldn't be on time to save my life. Commitments, I don't even know how to spell that. You know, like, that's not a thing. But come to find out, like, I can be those things. All those things that I thought I couldn't be, I can be. And today I am. You know, I can say that I truly am. And, like, I'm not the type to just, like, settle, you know, in anything. No matter what it is I do, I'm not just like that. I'm real quiet, and I'm, like, sitting back and observing shit, you know? Don't really speak a lot, but I'm not willing to just settle. So if there's, like, money to be made, I want it. If there's growth to be done, I'm doing it. Advancements, promotions, like, whatever. Like, I'm there. I'm all in. So I'm grateful for the company that I work for. He's in recovery. I started at the bottom, you know, just transporting clients. I didn't want no part of nothing, because I, you know, like, I don't have faith in myself, but, like I said, someone in NA does, and just give me the opportunity, and I've been able to run with it. So now I'm, like, a supervisor, you know, over these peers and stuff, and it's a lot, you know, like, it's really a lot. So, like, it's just, this week has been absolutely crazy at work. Like, I'm trying to put fire after fire out, and I'll fix one thing, and I'll be damned if it ain't another thing. But I've gotten through it, you know, and I've not gotten high over it. And I'm grateful for that. Just, like, speaking, I was thinking on the way down here, I was like, you know, had it been before, like, I got to have a buzz, you know what I'm saying? Because I need that false, like, confidence and, you know, like, I can do anything if I'm messed up, you know. But thinking, like, no, you're going to, like, I can do this clean with no substance. It's just doing it. So, I don't know. Like, I'm really grateful for this opportunity, for carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous. The message is hope. I can't even, yeah, whatever. I just went completely blank. Anyways, I was, I don't know. I love each one of y'all. Thank you. And I respect you for what you're trying to do with your life. And that's all I got.